Yo, what's up? It's your boy E.T., pastor of A Place of Change Ministries. Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. You know, so many people have said to me, E, we love the normal service, but the podcast, we can wash dishes, wash clothes, work out to it, drive up and down the road, our commute to work. And so, guys, thank you so much. Look, you know, we have one goal here, and that is to meet your spiritual needs. And so we hope that this message helps you in your everyday walk, helps you in your transformation. And most importantly, we hope that it helps you to make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Today, we are solving for healing. Amen. Amen. I know I just started, but I wanted to give you a praise spot right at the very beginning. Amen. Let me just check the room, make sure I'm talking to the right people. If there's anybody in the room that needs healing, just raise your hand and say, "I." Yeah, if you're online, just give me a one in the chat. If you need healing in any area, or if you know somebody that needs healing, raise your hand and say, "I." Today we're solving for healing. And the formula is T plus A times R equals A, which stands for truth plus attention through repetition equals activation. Now, I want to be clear as we get prepared for the word today. I want you always to know that when you come to church, you're not coming to church just to receive a smile. You're not coming to church just to get excited. You're not coming to church to get motivated. You're coming to church for change. Amen. Amen. You're coming to church because the church is supposed to be a place of healing. And so when you leave church, yes, you should smile. Yes, you should be happy. Yes, you should be excited, but you should leave changed. Not because of the word of God, but because God says we're two or three are gathered together in his presence, he's there. And when you're in the presence of God, you should be changed. Amen. So today we're solving for healing, and the formula is truth plus attention through repetition equals activation. And let me be clear. When I say activation, I'm not saying you're going to be immediately healed. When I say activation, you're starting the process of healing. Hallelujah. I mean, I want to give you a visual demonstration. Is that okay, Keisha? I know Keisha's always teach with demonstrations. So as a kid in school, I struggled often when I would just hear information, Jamie. But when I was able to see what was going on, I understood. And maybe I'm the only one. So I have three cups of water here. As you can see, there's nothing but water right here. This is faucet water. I didn't go with the good water. This is just faucet, good old Grand Lairs water right here. This right here in this first cup, as you see, is truth entering the mind. And as truth entered the mind, you see there's no transformation. Truth by itself does not transform. This second cup, as you see, we have the mind. Here we have again truth entering the mind. Now, as truth enters the mind, we give attention to truth. And as we give attention to truth, you see, truth begins to change. But if you look closely, it's not totally changed. Now, as we take truth and it enters the mind over and over and over and over again, and you begin to focus on it, and you begin to have repetition over and over and over again, you see truth changes their environment. You have truth entering the mind here. You see it's there, but it's not level. You see truth in the middle. You saw attention, and it's beginning to change their environment. But if you look closely, as truth enters the mind over and over and over again, and you begin to repetition to stir it, to activate it, activation not only enters the mind, but it transforms the very environment that it entered. Truth alone does not transform. Truth plus attention gets into your mind, but if you don't focus, it will leave your mind. But when you take truth and you add attention and you multiply it, it changes the very environment that it entered. My question to you today is very simple. Has truth changed you? Or has it just made you feel good? The Bible isn't meant to make you feel good. The Bible isn't meant to just make you excited and happy. The Bible is meant to transform the very thing that it enters. And so if truth is entering your mind only on Saturday or only on Sunday, you're not really being transformed by the truth. And so I just want to be clear. I know many of you know my past, and I want to make it very clear for those of you, maybe the demonstration didn't work. I just want to make it very clear to you. Can anybody read to me the word on this shirt right here? Bronson, I didn't have time to iron it today. I just took it out of the drawer and I pulled it out. So what does that say again one more time? Bronson. On the back, there's a heart, and it says positivity, be well. It says caring. It says inclusive. It says career. It says growth, diverse, healing, community, positivity, courage, caring, together, career growth, excellence. Ooh, I didn't even see that right there. Trustworthy. I didn't even see that right there. Accountability. It says strong. And if you know anything about me, I would never buy this shirt. Not in a million years. I don't even know what color it is. I'm colorblind. I think it's pink. Maybe it's orange. I don't know. Maybe it's one of those colors that most women know that men don't know. I know black, white, green, yellow, orange. That's about it. This shirt came from Bronson's store in the hospital. And the shirt represents something. You see, my daughter Aries, before she passed away, when she was diagnosed with cancer, there was days where we would have to take her to the hospital and they would say, prepare to stay overnight. And so I would pack a bag and get all my clothes together and prepare to stay overnight. We would come in and we would go through the chemo treatment. We would go through, whatever we have to go through. And then we would stay 2 or 3 nights. And I remember Aries would always say, Dad, it's okay. You can go home. Cause I would sleep on the couch. They had like a little couch bed and I was sleeping. She can tell that I was uncomfortable laying on the couch sideways like this. And then one day we had to go to the hospital for a routine treatment. And when we got there, they said that she needed some blood. I think it's called a blood infusion, Keisha, right? That she needed some blood infusion, that we would be there longer than expected. They said we should be out in about 4 to 6 hours. And 6 hours passed, and we were still there. And then 8 hours passed, and we were still there. And then they said, we're going to keep her overnight. This is pretty serious. And I remember I was sitting on the couch, and I was working on my PhD homework, and I was sitting there typing and doing my homework, and Aries could tell that I was kind of uncomfortable working, and she said, Dad, are you going to stay? And I said, I'm going to stay. She said, but are you going to be able to do your work if you stay, Dad? I said, don't worry about me. I told you that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm not God, but I'm your daddy on earth. And one thing about Aries, if you know one thing about Aries, Aries had been betrayed over and over again. And so Aries had a hard time believing that I will never leave her because she's always been left. Yeah, I'm going somewhere. You see, I told Aries, the truth is that you are valued. The truth is that you are wanted. Even though your mother didn't want you, even though your godmom didn't want you, even though your daddy didn't want you, even though your sisters didn't want you, I'm telling you that the Tyus family, I'm telling you the APOC, we want you. But she had a hard time believing that we want her because everybody else had given up on her. She said, well, my mama didn't want me, my daddy didn't. They said it, but I don't believe the truth you've given me. And so the more truth I gave her, she continued to fight. She continued to push back. And I said, God, I'm giving her the truth. Why isn't she receiving the truth? God said, no, son. It's truth plus attention times repetition. God said you can just give her the truth, but because of her history of hurt, because she hasn't truly healed, giving her the truth alone isn't going to make her believe the truth. You got to give attention to it, and you have to rep it. And so I remember Keisha that I went downstairs and I went into the room and I said, okay, I don't know. I've had the same clothes on. I think I was there for 2 or 3 days. And I went down and I said, let me buy a shirt. And I bought this Bronson shirt. And I remember Marcus, I remember Ralph, when I put on the Bronson shirt, I had on these sweatpants. And I was walking through the hospital and then she said, sir, excuse me, sir, can you show me where room so-and-so is? And I was like, I don't work here. He said, well, I thought you had the Bronson shirt on and you had like the swishy pants on. We thought you was like a nurse. I said, no, I don't work here. And then the next day I'm walking down, somebody else stops me. I said, I don't work here. I said, no, we've seen you here for a couple days. You got the Bronson shirt on. You must, no. I'm here with my daughter. I know I've been here for 2 or 3 days. They got to the point where they knew my name. And I remember I was laying on the couch, Wheezy, and I was laying there, and as I was laying there, I had my eyes closed, and every now and then I would open my eyes, and when I open my eyes, Everett would do this. She would open her eyes every couple minutes to see if I was still there. And then slowly but surely, after a couple months, Everett started to believe that maybe that is the truth. Maybe he isn't going to leave me. Maybe they do love me. I heard the truth, but because he's been giving attention to it, because he's been repping it over and over, maybe he really does mean he's not going to leave me. Maybe he really does mean this is the truth. And then slowly but surely, Aries began to change, not because I forced her to change, but because I loved her to change. The Bible says, if you love me, you will obey me. It doesn't say that I'm going to beat you down, you're going to obey me. It doesn't say, if you obey me, I'm going to save you. It says, if you love me, you will obey me. Change is a process of love. And when you love the truth, you don't just listen to it. You don't just get focused to it. You rep the truth. And when you rep the truth, the activation of transformation begins to take process. Let the church say amen. Core principle, truth revealed once inspires. Truth repeated rewires. The word of God is meant to rewire your brain. We're talking about a paradigm shift for you to think differently. So you're not receiving the word just to be inspired. You're receiving the word to be rewired. When wounds are unhealed, decisions are filtered through pain. But when wounds are healed, decisions are filtered through identity. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I set you apart. You are a king. You are a queen. You are royalty. So when Pastor gave you that message, many of you got inspired and got excited. But on Tuesday, you went back to your old. On Wednesday, you went back. And when you got to your job and when somebody told you you wasn't good enough, you went back to. And you took your crown off. Why? Because truth inspires you. It didn't rewire you. And so listen very carefully. I'm not saying you have to get to the point where your past is gone. What I'm saying, Trina, is that when you have unhealed wounds, you filter your decisions through pain, not through your identity. So it doesn't matter how much information you receive. It doesn't matter how great the word is. When you're filtering your decisions through the wrong filter, you're going to have the wrong decision and you're going to get the wrong results. Okay. So listen, I told you last week, right, minus subtracting unhealed wounds. Some of you saying, Pastor, I don't know what my unhealed wounds are. I'm going to give you four. Number one, rejection wound. Rejection wound. Amen. If you're in the body, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're online, you don't have to. But some of you in this room, some of you online, this is one of your wounds. Rejection wound. We're going to do it fast. Formed by, abandoned, neglect, being overlooked, parental absence, social exclusion. Hey, man, there might be somebody in here. Identity impact. Approval seeking. Oh, Carl, they're talking about me. You are seeking approval because for some reason you've been rejected by your mom, by your dad, by the community. And so you're living your life seeking approval because you have a rejection wound. So every decision you make, you're filtering it through the rejection wound. Overperforming or... Okay, this is my wound right here, so it's okay. I know none of y'all Weezy have had this issue, but this is me right here. Fear of abandonment. So what's the behavior pattern? People pleasing. Yeah. Amen. Marcus, I'm going to raise my hand. Right. I see you, Marcus. Marcus got me. Emotional distance. TJ, why you don't like people? I've been rejected before, so I'm going to keep my distance because you can't reject me. Okay. Royal disruption. Royal people don't beg to belong. Oh, you don't like me? Thank you. Now I can go find my people because you're not my people. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm excited. You don't like how loud I am? Praise God. Let me go find my loud people. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't like my speech impediment and my stutter? cool, let me go find my people. You're not going to hurt me because God set me apart before he formed me. Which means, I just got a word. I'm sorry. I got a word. If God set me apart before he formed me, maybe he set apart my people before he formed me too. So if I'm set apart and I'm trying to be with them and they don't want to be with me, God is saying, I didn't set them apart for you. I have a special group for you. You trying to please them. No, this is your group. Stop fighting. I have. Okay. Failure and shame rooms. Here's your core lie. I am what I did wrong. Formed by a public failure. Chronic criticism, moral collapse, perfectionism environments. What's the identity impact? Self-sabotage, fear of risk, hiding. Catch this, behavioral pattern, playing small to avoid exposure. I am what I did wrong. Hear me carefully. Here's your royal disruptor. Royal people learn without losing identity. Oh, come on. I'm not going to quote a rapper or nothing like that. But when I lose, I learn, so it evens it up for me. Make no mistake about it. I don't care if it's in the world. I don't get spread carefully. We all are God's creation. The sun shines on the just and the unjust. It rains on the just and the unjust. So when I lose, I learn. So therefore, I grow through losing. As a matter of fact, did I really lose? Because if all things work together for the good, for those who love the Lord and called according to the... Did I really lose? If God is sovereign, his hand is on all things. If I don't get what I want, maybe God has something better for... So if this is not for me, and God has something better for me, I didn't really lose. I gained. Okay. Trauma wounds. I'm not... safe, formed by abuse, violence, loss, chronic instability, your identity impact. If this is you, just say amen. Hypervigilance, control issues. Come on, type amen in the chat if you're online. Come on, right? Emotional reactivity. Okay. Your behavioral pattern is survival over stewardship. I'm going to pause right there. Because some of us, when we're working in ministry, when we're working in our jobs, we have a pattern of survival over stewardship. I don't want to have an apprentice because they might take my spot and I don't feel safe. So I'm going to work on survival. I'm not going to try to... Royal disruption. Royal people lead from peace, not panic. Yeah, go ahead and screen. Royal people lead from peace, not panic. Okay, let me go back. There was a time as your leader, I'm admitting right now, I'm apologizing. As your leader, I didn't feel safe in my place, so my behavioral pattern was survival over stewardship. What does that mean? See very carefully. I led from panic, not peace. Ooh, what if I don't do this right? What if I don't answer this phone call? What if I'm not there for her? What if I'm not there for him? God says, son, you building up and tearing down with the same hand. Oh, come on, somebody. There was a time where I was tearing down my marriage because I was on a phone call with somebody who was crying and going through whatever they was going through. I had a date with my wife at 12 o'clock. I had the meeting at 11:30. Marcus, first of all, I'm wrong right there. It's 11:55. It's going to take me 15 minutes to get to my lunch day. I'm like, shoot. And that person's still talking. I'm like, my wife texts me, where you at? I'm on my way. Well, there's a lie right there. I'm not on my way. I'm thinking about coming on my way. At 12:03, my wife texts me, never mind. Forget about it. You know, anybody married know what that means. Never mind, Jamie. Forget about it. I said, baby, I was ministering. I was being a pastor. I was doing this. And God said, if you're going to be a man of God, you got to take care of your home before you. Son, you out of line. You time to take care of them. Who got you here? Your wife got you here. Who was here before they were here? You're not taking care of your home. You are operating out of panic, not peace. Because I'm worried about if this person's going to say, Pastor wasn't there for me. You're not there for your wife. Trauma wounds. I'm not safe. I got to be there for them. And I got to, Keisha, I got to be on the phone. I got to talk to them, Carl. Because if I don't, they're not going to come to church. If they don't come to church, they're not going to be. God said, boy, I'm going to have in them seats who's supposed to be in them seats. If it's one million, you're going to preach my word. I didn't say preach my word to him or her. I said preach my word. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Comparison wounds. Core lie, I'm behind. Constant comparison. Amen out. Social media pressure. Sibling rivalry. Ooh, man, Marcus, I think I wrote this about myself today. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm being selfish. Performance ranking. Identity impact. Envy. Some of you won't admit to that. Insecurity. Overcompensation. What's the behavioral pattern? Measuring self instead of mastering mission. Measuring self instead. Why, how come I can't master? Okay. Can you grab my phone right quick? I'm going to go off script real fast. Jamie, trust me. I'm going to go off script for 1 second. I just want to be transparent as I can, right? And so I was talking to Pastor, and Pastor told me, you know, when you use chat, you got to tell chat, like, to be brutally honest. You say, oh, Keisha. So I went to chat. And my dream is always to get to a point to where when I was young, I wanted to make six figures, right? And then as I got around millionaires, okay, I want to be a millionaire because I want to send kids to school. Like, I want to pay for kids to go to school. I want to buy cars for mothers who are single mothers. And so I want to be a millionaire. God said, okay, you're on your way. I went to chat, and this is what I said. Based on everything you know about me, be brutally honest and use genius mode to give me the detailed, step-by-step, easiest way for me to become a millionaire using my gifts. This is what Chad said. TJ, I'm going to be direct. The brutal truth. You already have millionaire-level assets. Speaking ability, frameworks, credibility by proximity, real-world coaching reps, a brand voice that cuts through. Your bottleneck is not talent. Y'all ready for the rest? Say, be ready. Pastor, close your ears, because Pastor has been telling me this. And Melissa, close your ears. Number one, too many lanes at once. Church, athletes, corporate, products, apparel, scholarship, this, that. That splits attention and skills compounding. Marcus, you ready? You're building like an artist, not an operator. Lots of curation, not enough repeatable sales fulfillment systems. Your primary problem is you're all over the place. I'm going to sit down in my chair. I said be brutally honest. I would rather have said, you know, you don't have to act. It says you already have it. Your problem. I think I'm behind, so I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to. God, I just want to serve. I just want to be a blessing. I'm in, where were we at, Melissa? I'm in California at Pastor's house. Me and Melissa, we just living, having fun, enjoying time, and then I have this great idea. I'm going to give a free workshop. I'm going to serve the people. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it, right? But I'm doing a PhD. I can stop right there if you know anything about the PhD. I'm a pastor. I'm writing a book. I'm doing this curriculum. I'm doing videos. I'm going to throw in a free workshop right quick. Keisha was 380. I said, ooh, 380 people. More people in the room right now. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm excited. I was on there for like an hour and 10. listening to Trey in the background like, cut it. That's too long. And pastor's like, did you work on your PhD work today? Oh, I ain't had time to. Oh, so you paying for the PhD and you doing free workshops and you didn't have time. Did you work on your book today? No, I ain't had time. Did you spend quality time in California with 7 degree graduate with your wife? Well, I'm gonna get to that after this free. But God, I'm behind. I gotta do this and Royal people don't race. They rule their lane. I'm not racing you. I'm in my own lane and I'm ruling my lane. What's your lane? Last one. Betrayal, trust wounds. I'm on my own. Broken trust, infidelity, leadership failure, spiritual abuse, identity impact, isolation, cynicism, control, behavioral problem, self-protection over connection. Word people build alliances, not walls. The very wall you build to protect yourself is the very wall that keeps out the blessing that God's trying to give you. You can't even tell they're coming to bless you because the walls built up so high, the person's coming to bless you that God sent to bless you. You can't even receive it because you build a wall to protect yourself. And God said he's going to protect you. But pastor, you know what he did? You know what? I do know. But guess what? God either caused it to happen or God allowed it to happen. But I don't trust him. Do you trust him? But I don't trust her. Do you? God allowed Satan to tempt Job. God allowed Satan to do things to Job. But he said, don't touch a hair. Okay. The word of God, Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Repeat after me. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Listen carefully. Here's a principle. Thinking shapes living. Identity shapes thinking. Hear carefully. Thinking shapes living. Identity shapes thinking. So if our identity isn't royal, we're not going to think royal. And if we don't think royal, then we're not going to do royal. So you can wear your crown all day long. Amen. Let me make it transparent. Come on. Let me make it transparent. Anybody in here ever play sports? Just raise your hand. Just let me see you play sports. Anybody ever play a sport where you had pitcher day and everybody was there for pitcher day? They had their uniform on, everybody smiling. But then after pitcher day F, when it was time to go to practice and when it was time to compete, they were on the sideline talking about some coach. I think I got it right here. I don't know what happened, coach. Like, we didn't even practice yet. You got hurt going to the lunchroom line. Like, how did you get hurt, bro? And then they hurt, and then come games, and they're like, coach, I'm feeling pretty good, coach. I'm ready to go, coach. I warmed up. How do you heal and you was hurt all week? Because you didn't want to practice. You didn't want to go through the pain that it takes to gain. You just wanted the reward without the work. You wanted to lose weight without the diet. It's okay. I got on the scale the other day. So I was 247. And some of you are saying that's not that big. Jay Cook, nephew, I've never been over 243. I wear extra large shirts. And I don't know why, but some reason it started coming out a little bit. Within 24 hours, Trey said, Dad, you want to go to? I said, yes, I do. We went to the sauna and rode a bike in the sauna. And Auntie Moni, I said, it was called Hot Works. And I said, you said we was riding a bike. She told me, I said, okay, stand up. Here we go. Now run. I said, this is, whoa. I thought we was going to be riding a bike. We sweating, we riding a bike. I got out. V says, you lose weight. I said, I don't know. I don't even want to get on the scale. I'm going to go back in 2 days. You get 3 days free. I'm going back tonight. Hot Works, riding a bike in a sauna. Hear me carefully. You say you want it. Right? Healing doesn't erase your story. It changes your filter. Listen, I know your past. And I'm not saying you're trying to erase your past. I'm saying we got to change our filter. If you want the reward, you have to do the work. So don't say you want healing, but you don't want to go through the work of the healing process. I don't want to talk about it. Well, you don't want to grow. It hurts to deal with it. Well, truth alone doesn't reprogram the mind. Attention plus repetition does. That's your key. That's your key. Okay? So listen, I'm going to make it simple. We're going to get out of here. You have something called your reticular activation system. Everybody has it, okay? I'm going to geek out for a second. Truth reveals, okay? You direct your focus, and then you repeat, that reinforces it. Let's do this, all right? I want you guys to look around the room. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Find everything in the room that's red. Ready, go. Everything that's red. Okay, pause. That might have been that 30 seconds, but I'm not good at math. Okay? How many of you found at least one thing? Raise your hand. How many of you found five things? Good. How many found 10 things? Oh, y'all good. Okay, 15? Okay, hands down. How many of you saw blue? Now, why did you see more red than you saw blue? Say that again. Because you were looking for it. There's actually more blue in this room than it is red. But you saw more red because that's what you was looking for. That's how your reticular activating system works. Whatever you're looking for, you're going to find. I always say, who's in control, the thought or the thinker? Just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's true. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean you got to listen to that thought. Your reticular activating system is programmed to focus on what you tell it to focus on. Anybody ever bought a car, and then when you bought that car, you saw that car everywhere? Like, oh, I literally bought a car, bro. And so I bought a car. My man around the corner got my same car. And I'm like, my son, like, that he had it before you. No, he didn't. I had mine first. That he had his for months. I ain't never seen it. I wasn't looking for it. What are you looking for? Pastor, I can't. Pastor, God, I've been praying. I can't find. What you looking for? I'm always stressing. I'm having bad days. What you looking for? Do you know that your mind naturally focuses on more negative than positive? So you have to work overtime to focus on the positive? You can have 10 positive things and have 2 negatives, and your mind will focus on the 2 negatives. Naturally, that's the way your mind is programmed. Let me make it simple. Number one, your reticular activating system filters reality. It determines what the brain notices and is trained by, somebody repeat after me, intentional focus. Jay Cook, I'm going to help him out. In sports, we call it mental imagery. In sports, we're trained to sit down and close our eyes and envision ourselves, Antoine, making a shot. Envision ourselves catching the ball. Because my mind doesn't know the difference between me physically doing it and me actually mentally doing it. It does not know the difference. It's trained by intentional focus, the reticular activating system, better known as the RAS. Let me get you out here. I'm going to go old school, Baptist. Grab your Bibles. Once you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus 6, 6 to 8. I'm sorry, it's 2026. Grab your phones. Once you have your phone and your Bible app, turn to Exodus 6, 6 through 8. Amen. And once you have it, let the church say amen. Yeah, I'm not going to make you stand. It's okay. Some of y'all didn't grow up like that, but we have to stand up once we have it. Pastor didn't start until you stood. Therefore, Say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with the outstretched arm, amen, and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore an uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Oh, you should have said amen. You should have said amen. It said over and over again, I will. I will. I will. I will. Does anybody trust God? Just say amen. Does anybody trust God? You waiting on that job offer. You waiting on that healing. You waiting on that breakthrough. You waiting on, you're waiting on something, and God said, I will. Truth. Truth. The doctor said, I can't. Your friend said, I can't. Your homegirl said, I can't. God said, I will. The first step, ladies and gentlemen, is truth. Turn to Joshua 1:8. Attention. Very simple, ladies and gentlemen. The word of God says, keep this book of the law always, again, I say always, on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, somebody say then, you will be, Auntie Moni, did you catch that? Okay. Take this book. Read this. Okay. Take this book. Read this book. Meditate it. Day and night. This is a song called Day and Night. Then, Trina, you will be. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Oh, let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Okay. Here we go. All right. So first we have truth. Amen. Then we have attention. Amen. Now let's go to our next scripture. Amen. Let me see. Okay. Here we go. No. Go back. Yep. Go back. We got Deuteronomy. Okay. Here we go. Got my clicker here. Deuteronomy 6, 7 through 9. Somebody say repetition. Amen. Okay. Here we go. 6, 7 through 9. Amen. If you learn it, let the church say amen. Amen. Impress them on your... Let me pick it up. Is there, can you stand up, please, for a second? If you don't mind, I just want to talk to you because you're my son. Impress them on your children. Sorry, I'm going to be selfish. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on the foreheads. Write them on your door frames of the houses and your gates. My son decided to pledge to become he's a Q. And I, I've seen stuff about Qs and all this, what Qs do, and they being this, they being that. And then one day, Weezy, you can have a seat, Xavier. One day, some girl saw his post, and he said, Bible study on this day at this time. She said, Bible study? Ain't you a Q? Yup. And we having Bible study on this. I said, Xavier having Bible study? Not that I'm putting him down, but I'm like, son, you, this is last year. Like, you 20 years old, 19. They like, Q's like, bro, we trying to have a you know what party. They would say, okay, y'all had that. I'm having Bible study over here, the Q Bible study. Ain't nobody else on campus having no Q Bible study. But that's been impressed on his heart. Sister Genevieve raised my boys up in Sabbath school. Sister Genevieve put it on their heart. She impressed it. His mama impressed it. Now he walking into the queues about something. Yeah, you can do all that, but we have Bible study. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Somebody say repetition. And then lastly, Joshua 1 through 9, we have activation. The word of God says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord, your God, will be with you wherever you go. Let the church say amen. Come on, let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Ladies and gentlemen, here's how we broke it down. Last week, we talked about royal living. Royal living is identity minus unhealed wounds plus repetition equals royal living. So we move forward. Well, Pastor, how do we get activation for the process of unhealed wounds? Today, healing activation, truth plus attention multiplied by repetition equals activation of the healing process. And here, ladies and gentlemen, as I leave you, I gave you a little extra. How do I focus on daily thought renewal? You have to practice what's called law of replacement. When you have a thought into your mind, the Bible declares you take every thought captive to the word of God. And so when a thought enters your mind and it's not a healthy thought, let me say this way, and it's not a royal thought, I need you to stop. Stop that unhealthy thought. Stop that unroyal thought. And I want you to swap it. Because many of us think that if we clean our house and get rid of all the demons, we're good to go. But if you clean the house and you don't... If you clean the house and you don't put nothing in, they will come back and bring more. And it'll be worse than it was the first time. So you can't just clean. You can't just get rid of the unhealthy thoughts. You can't just get rid of the poverty mindset. You have to replace it with something. So stop the thought and then swap it. Not I'm not good enough. I am good enough. I am chosen. I am worthy. I am smart. I am beautiful. I am amazing. I am. I am because I am that I am. Stop the thought. Swap the thought. And I need you to sell it. Meaning you have to repeat it over and over again. You have to sell it to yourself until you believe it. I don't care if you got to talk in the mirror. I am him. Oh, I got a shirt made, Keisha. It says, I am him. They're like, oh, you think you, I am him. I'm him. No. I am him. Why? Because daddy said I'm him. I don't care if you say it's arrogance, it's confidence. Daddy said I am him and you are her. So when I walk like I'm him. Why? Because daddy set me apart from the beginning. I am TJ Tyus. And my kids love it. When I'm talking to my clients, well, I know. You TJ. I said, that's right. I'm doggone TJ Tyus. And don't you forget it. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm royal. I'm not poverty. I'm king. I'm not a peasant. I talk like it. I walk like it. I act like it. I have some wounds, but I'm working on healing my wounds so I filter through royal, not through unhealed wounds. If you're going to live royal and you're going to work on healing your wounds so you don't pass your wounds down to your... You have to do the work to get the reward. The truth by itself does not transform. The truth plus focus starts a little. But the truth plus attention multiplied by repetition activates the healing process. If you're in the room today, in this area in your life, maybe I mentioned it as one of the five that I listed, that you have an unhealed wound and you're ready to start the activation process, press towards the front. We don't have a lot of time. It's not a general appeal, right? If you're online, just type in the chat, I need healing. If you're in a room today, press towards the front, and there's an area in your life that you've been filtering through unhealed wounds, and you need healing through that process because you want to live royal in your finances, you want to live royal in your thoughts, you want to live royal in your body. I'm not saying have the body they say have on the internet, but you know physically, the way you're eating, what you're drinking, you know physically it's not royal. You know that's not the body that God would have you to have. You're saying mentally, I have some thoughts that are poverty thoughts. And I don't want poverty thoughts anymore. I want royal thoughts. You're in a room and you're saying, Pastor, there's some unhealed wounds that I have that I'm afraid I'm passing down to my son and my daughter. You're in a room and you're saying, God, there's some unhealed wounds that I'm afraid that I'm actually bleeding on my significant other. And I'm harming my marriage. I'm harming my significant other because I'm responding out of pain, not out of purpose. I'm arguing with my wife. I'm arguing with my husband. I'm arguing with my mom and my dad because I'm talking from unhealed wounds. I don't want to erase my past. I want to be better and smarter because of my past. They say, hurt people, hurt people. But I believe with God, hurt people can heal people. Because once I've learned to heal from my hurt, I can help somebody else going through what I went through to heal from their hurt. Father God in heaven, I'm here as your manservant, Father. I have some unhealed wounds in my life, Father. And Father, I need healing. So I don't pass it down to Trey, Zay, and Zell, Father. I need healing, Father, so that I can give Alyssa a better husband, Father. I need healing, Father, so I can give APOC a better pastor, Father. I don't want to leave from panic, Father. I want to leave from peace. Father, help us, Father. You see your sons and daughters before you right now, Father. And they only know and you know what the unhealed wounds are, Father. They need not speak you, Father, for the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. I speak healing across the room right now, Father. I speak healing across the room right now, Father. Whether it was last night, whether it was a decade ago, Father, I speak healing across the room, Father. That whatever happened in the past, Father, allow us not to make decisions based upon what previously broke us, Father, because you said we are healed, Father. We've been baptized, Father. We've been laid down, Father. And we're here, Father, to receive, Father, the newness, Father, to be renewed, to be restored, Father, to be better than we ever have been before, Father. We want healing, Father. I still have pain, Father. I still have heartache, Father. I still have anger, Father. I still have sorrow, Father. And I don't know how to operate with this pain deep down inside of me, Father. Give us freedom, Father. Help us, Father, to take action day by day, step by step, Father. Let every yoke be destroyed. Let every generational curse be cast down. Let every chain be broken, Father. Have your will, have your way in this place. And most importantly, Father, in us. Allow this not to be motivation, inspiration. Allow not to be just information. We want transformation. And we only get that with you and through you, Father. At this moment, Father, by the power, Father, the mighty power, Father, in the hem of your garment, Father, my prayer is that every person in this room, this day, at this moment, has begun the healing process. It's not overnight. It's a process, Father. Strengthen us, Father. Help us to not get weary in well-doing, Father. For in due season, we shall be healed. In Jesus' name, let every believer say, amen and amen.
Family, before you head out, take a moment and lock in your next steps. First, grab the app. Open your app store, search APOC Ministry, download and open it. Tap connect and drop your name and best contact. New here? You can also type new in the chat. We want to follow up this week. If you need God to move in something specific, don't carry it alone. In the app, tap prayer. Submit requests and our team will be praying with and for you. And if today stirred you to make a difference, partner with us as we reach up and reach back. Visit apopministry.org or tap giving in the app, one time or recurring. Your generosity fuels our mission to love, grow, and serve. Before you log off, share this with three people, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so you don't miss what's next. Join us right here on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. and Saturdays at 11. Until then, we love you. Be blessed.